Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be in, however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin Cowherd. Oh, and by the way, long conversation with Colin today during a morning walk. He had the walk, not me. Feeling good. Feeling good. Came back in the weight room. Threw about 350 on the bench press today. Feeling good. We got a great show for you. Tom Pelissero is going to join us, NFL Network insider. I think the big topic is going to be quarterbacks. Who will be moved and where will they be moved to? And suddenly now, Russell Wilson going to be in Seattle next year? I mean, what about Derek Carr in Vegas and Deshaun Watson and Deshaun? I almost feel like I should go to my inner Dick Vitale, right? Oh, let me tell you my quarterback's in the move. Quarterback's in the move. You got Deshaun Watson. He wants out of Houston. He's unbelievable. And Sam Darnold. Let me tell you about Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Like he always finds a way to work it back to, and Tom Izzo and Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams, right? Like I feel like we could do that for the potential quarterback movement. All right. Also, Steve McClendon's going to join us. He's one of those fantastic members of the Bucs defensive line. He's going to join us in an hour and a half. I'm going to ask him, one, what were they drinking yesterday on the boat? And two, were they at all surprised at the fact that Kansas City never adjusted to the fact that they couldn't block four with five? And Brandon Whedon will join us in the third hour. Good friend of mine, starting quarterback of the Browns, the Cowboys, the Texans. We'll get his thoughts on what went wrong for Kansas City, what went right for Tampa, and who's more likely to get back to that big game, because maybe the answer will surprise you. Let me start, though, with Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., Tom Brady. 7 rings, 10 Super Bowls, and whatever you want to say about Tom Brady, from Spygate to Deflategate, to everything in between, to leaving New England, our old crazy Uncle Rob Parker, he's the luckiest. Nobody's that lucky. At some point, there is something that you do that makes you better and your team's better than everybody else. Now, I'm willing to admit that Tampa team was uber talented, except for the fact that their quarterback kept turning it over last year. So you eliminate a bunch of turnovers and you bring in kind of professional winning mercenaries, right? Not just Brady, Antonio Brown, as much as a knucklehead as he is off the football field, on the football field, Pittsburgh was much more competitive when he was playing. And Rob Gronkowski, just to name a few. But there's something about who he is and what he does where he wins. But the problem with Brady is it was hard for us to relate to him, right? He's not the everyman. He's just not. It feels like he travels in different circles. Keep in mind, when Tom Brady was in New England, and this hasn't been discussed a ton, when he was in New England, there was a time in which he got a helicopter in and out of the game at Foxborough. Now, if you've ever been to Foxborough, and it's a 4-lane road, 2 in and 2 out, and it takes, from the highway, it takes like an hour at the wrong time or after a game. It's the worst. It's in geographical location, it's a couple hours from Hartford. It's like 45 from Providence and like 45 from Boston. Like, it's actually in the middle of nowhere, but in the center of kind of everything, where it's, you know, but the problem is getting there and getting back from there is terrible. So Brady, in the middle of his prime, he had a chopper flying him in and out. And at some point, guys in the team were like, no, come on. Like, And Belichick had to shut that down, right? Brady had his own trainer. Had his own, Alex Guerrero, his own trainer in the facility. And it's like, he's got his own TB12 method and the avocado ice cream. And it's really hard. So yesterday, first he's tossing around the Lombardi trophy. Like, if you got six others, who cares? He gets off the boat and he was sauced. I mean, he was, do you guys know who Cooter Brown was? It's a great Southern expression. Is he drunker than Cooter Brown? Cooter Brown lived in the border of a free state and a slave state during the Civil War, and he couldn't decide which side he wanted to be on, so he just drank every day instead of deciding. Right? I don't know. I think it's a real story, but I don't know. If not, it is today. And so the expression is he's drunker than Cooter Brown, right? Drunker than a skunk. Pick it out. He was hammered. And he was that good hammered, right? He was that, man, I'm feeling good. Feeling good. Like I should, right? Like, he had that perma-grin smile. How you doing, man? Love you, bud. And there's two parts to it which are, I think, an important takeaway, right? One, who you are as a drunk is who you really are. Angry drunk, angry guy. Funny drunk, funny guy. You know, when you try and get all lovey-dovey, that's who you are. Right? If you're a quiet drunk, you're kind of a quiet guy. Everyone's different. And it does. It takes away all of the different falsities of who you pretend to be, because it's really hard in this world to be who you want to be, to say what you want to say. But the other thing is this. Tom Brady was not terribly likable for a long time. And there's a lot of people who simply root against him on Sunday and can't watch the reaction on Monday because, like, I'm so done with Tom Brady. And then you watch him and he's coming out the buzz. Hey, man. Eden. He's smiling. He's got a couple of his like henchmen like pull him around. We don't want to get him in front of a hot mic and say the wrong thing. He even tweeted out nothing to see here, or actually nothing to see her, H-E-R, just a little avocado tequila and of course some misspelled words. It was amazing. It was like the first time ever, a relatable moment. Like, yeah, dude, I've been there. I've either been there or I want to be there. Who doesn't want to be on a boat with Tom Brady having a couple of cocktails? Day drinking is a different type of drinking, kids, as we all know. And, you know, through 20 years in front of us, like, Tom Brady was a guy who, he grew up in the burbs. He went to Michigan, kind of elitist school. This kind of elitist feel to the Patriots. They think they're better than all of us. They think they're smarter than everybody. Right? His hair's better than my hair at the same age. His teeth are better. His skin is better. Right? Like, he keeps getting younger. We keep looking older. What in the holy hell is going on with Tom Brady? He's married to a supermodel. I can't relate to any of these things. But then I see him day drinking on a boat and he's got some either slobber or water or sweat dripping off him. And you're like, Tommy, hey, Tommy. Oh, and I'm not sure if you saw this. Go back to the video. He's wearing like a knee sleeve. Right? He's wearing shorts and a knee sleeve. Now, look. I'm willing to admit it's a job hazard. He plays football in the NFL, and even though he had no grass on any part of his jersey, he might have gotten hit during that violent game known as the Super Bowl just 2 days previous. But the idea that Tom Brady, who knew he was going to be on camera, always trying, you know, and he throws on his TB to TB t-shirt, whatever, some shorts, and hold on, hun, I got to throw on this knee sleeve for protection when I'm on my boat. Oh, my God, he's a dork. Tom Brady could have had 3 Zimas and been hammered, and everybody would be like, you know what? Good for him. Good for you, Tom. You got out of New England. You're a little older. You get to Florida. You feel the sun. You win a football game. You throw in a knee brace. You have a couple of Zimas. Good for you. You know what? You know what the truth is? People like authenticity. You know? I mean, look, that was it's so much so that sometimes really inauthentic people who purport themselves as authentic actually end up winning for a period of time. Ultimately, it always gets exposed, right? But I mean, we've seen that in politics, that people just, you don't necessarily like what they say, but the idea that they're saying what they actually think, that's what we yearn for. So many things are packaged and prepared. And like, you know, look, we'll talk about Russell Wilson, but I mean, I think Russell Wilson, there's a guy who there's nothing wrong there, but it doesn't feel like you're ever getting the real Russell Wilson. It just doesn't. And I don't know if we've ever gotten the real Tom Brady until yesterday. Why? Have a couple of sips of cocktails, have some tequila midday in the Florida sun, and all of that goes away. All of that image goes away. This is who he really is. Smiling, happy, knee brace, carrying his daughter, 7-time Super Bowl champion. And you know what? There's a bunch of you who saw that video who said, damn it, I kind of like Tom Brady now. I can't believe I'm saying, I hated him. And I kind of love him and wish I was on the boat with him. Tommy, take a couple of Advil before you go to bed. Drink a bunch of smart water. Okay? Call me, Tommy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you missed the Dan Patrick interview with Russell Wilson, let me give you a kind of a quick quote from it. A source told me, this is from Dan Patrick, after his interview, Dan said, a source told me that the Seahawks management is not happy with Russell Wilson and his camp for taking this to the media. You wonder if they're going to be able to coexist. The current situation is unsustainable. That's what I was told. That's Dan Patrick. And look, DP, I don't know how many of you guys listen to that show that precedes Colin's show here on Fox Sports Radio and throughout our Fox Sports Radio affiliates. But he's always been a great interviewer, and that was a great interview. But he also has started to tell us all the secrets that he knows, like all the Big Ten stuff that was going down. He was on top of as well. That's interesting. This was former Seahawks Hall of Famer Walter Jones on Russell Wilson going public with his problems with how Seattle is handling things.
I think you should leave that in-house. I think once you put that out there, now everybody thinking that you don't appreciate the guys that you play with this year, even though you're where you need to be every year. You know, this team is right around that mark every year. So you have to credit that to Russell Wilson and the guys around him. But still, again, once you call those guys are like, wow, really? Like, we go to war with you every week. You know, we're trying our best not to get you hit. But still, again, you know, for you to say that publicly, you're putting yourself out there on front street, and now you got everybody, like, now talking about what you're saying. So you always have to be careful.
So there's a lot of discussion about, well, the offense. The interesting thing about the offense and the thought that he wants to have more say about player personnel is that, look, Brock Huard, who joined us yesterday in The Herd, Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin, had this to say about Russell speaking out about the offense.
By all accounts, from what I had heard behind the scenes, this was the guy, Shane Waldron from the Rams, that Russell was most excited about. They did the same thing, and when push came to shove, from the people that I talked to behind the scenes, you know, Russ was super excited about this, getting a guy that, you know, minimizes some of the offensive line challenges.
Hey, so you got to help pick the offensive coordinator, one of 14 guys. You got to the playoffs, and now you're airing dirty laundry. Like, look, I don't know how many places you've worked. I've worked at three different networks. There are absolutely things I would like to see changed. You know what I don't do? Is I don't use this thing to try and make those changes. Because though, you know, each team is different, still a team. You know? It just is. And I think this is who Russell Wilson really is. There's an article in GQ with he and Ciara, and he just like we wake up and we're so blessed to be together, to get to spend time together. Like, dude, enough. Enough. This is who he is. The NFL, especially the players, like, I think as fans, sometimes we struggle to see it because so many things are packaged and we want to believe things, whatever. But the NFL, much like the NBA and Major League Baseball, like, they know who the real dudes are, right? They know what guys really are. And if you look at Seattle, remember those defensive dudes, they had a problem with him. You go back, and now Richard Sherman, obviously they act like they're close, and they're, but when they were together, they weren't really together. There was the defense versus Russ, and you had to treat Russ with kid gloves, and you had to handle him a certain way, and you couldn't mention the fact that they were a team that protected him, that limited how many times he was going to throw the football, and then late, they would turn, and he got to reap the glory of it. No one has ever actually called out Russell Wilson for the Malcolm Butler interception. Have you ever noticed that? The only thing ever said was, why didn't they hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch? And I will grant you that he's a 5'10", 5'11" quarterback, so he can't see, and maybe that's why that ball was high. But if that ball was low, did you notice the route that Antonio Brown ran when he scored a touchdown late in the first half? Did you notice that route? Okay. Did you notice where the ball was placed? The ball was placed low, like kneecaps or below. And the reason you throw it there is if Antonio Brown can't catch it, nobody can catch it. Right? It's a different route and a different concept. Okay? But when Russell Wilson threw the ball that was intercepted by Malcolm Butler, if it was thrown at the same angle and trajectory as the Tom Brady passed Antonio Brown, guess what doesn't happen? The Patriots don't intercept the football. Nobody's ever said that. But again, that's part and parcel to that's who Russell is. He wants to be immune from criticism. He wants to be above reproach. He wants it done his way. And now you're getting a little insight into, like, Walter Jones, like, he's one of the greatest linemen in the history of this sport. But he's also a lifer as a Seahawk. Like, really? You're going to call out? Because he went to the local media and said, I'm tired of being hit. And said, he wants to say in player personnel. What is he saying? He's saying, my offensive line sucks. Get better players. They're getting me hit. Did you hear any of them come out and say, Russell holds the ball too long? This is who Russell really is. And this is why guys struggle to play with him or give him the respect that his play probably deserves.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Chris Godwin's a free agent. And of course, yesterday at the championship victory boat show parade and then presentation or whatever, Bruce Arians said he's not going anywhere. You had Mike Evans saying, you know, you take some of my money and keep guys here. Most people thought he meant Chris Godwin. But money talks, and at some point in time, you have a Super Bowl win. Maybe you go elsewhere. It's not like they're throwing it 50 times a game, and he can put up Calvin Johnson numbers. That said, there's this thought that, okay, Brady brought Gronk. Brady brought Antonio Brown. Brady brought, Leonard Fournette was on the street. Probably could have signed elsewhere. He went for a minimum contract to play with Brady, all because they won a Super Bowl. And this reminds me of something I tell people all the time about college recruiting. Have you seen Alabama's recruiting class? Have you guys seen it? It's, again, on paper, and it's really hard because, you know, some states didn't have a full season of high school football. Some haven't had high school football at all. Five stars are, there's a certain subjectivity to it, right? Is he a kid a five star because he signed at Alabama, or a five star who signed at Alabama? That said, they have the greatest depth of five stars in the history of college football. And what's that about? It's about winning. But that's it. It's not about facilities. Like, LSU built this new locker room where they have, like, the first class seats. I'm saying, the first class, you've been in some of the new planes with the first class seats where you press a button and it goes from like a regular seat to like laying completely flat. Yeah, they have those in their locker room, right? So you can sit in your locker room, press a button, and get yourself a good nap. Clemson has a slide, right? At some point, like, we're going to get to the Texas has a new, they all have new locker rooms and better stuff and gear and uniform. Oregon started the trend with, like, we have this many uniform sets and this much stuff. And yes, NFL draft picks do help. It really does help. But you're usually drafted higher if your team wins, and so you go to a place where you can win more. You know, a big part of the reason that college football programs don't want expansion of the playoffs is in the bowl games, half the teams end their seasons with a win. There's nothing more powerful than winning. How does that relate to Brady? Very simple. You know, it's not about ownership, management. Don't get me wrong, the core of that team was built very smartly by Jason Light, okay, who's had several times to remake over the team and it didn't quite work. And they do have talented dudes, but they had those talented dudes, most of them, beforehand. But it's the idea of, wait, we can win? Because Tampa's not a big market. It's a relatively small market. Oh, yeah, by the way, Tom Brady's the same guy with a MAGA hat in his locker 4.5 years ago, right? Same guy. But Tom Brady, especially with yesterday's video, helps his cool factor. It looks like every 40-year-old white dude celebrating a win. Knee brace on, shorts, hammered, smiling, good time. But more than anything, they win. Tom Brady, win. Where do I sign up? Alabama, win. Where do I sign up? Right? Don't get me wrong. Everybody wants to make money, and that's why it's more to the veteran player that has already cashed in, already made a bunch of money. Right? How can I get in on that winning thing? I just want to win. Because you start with when you're early on, you love your sport, and you just want to play. And then once you play, you just want to get paid. And then once you play, you just want to get paid, you're like, you know what? This losing thing sucks. I want to win. Look at that guy. He's on a boat. He just got done playing another season of football. He's on a boat. He looks happy. He's hammered. He's got so many Lombardi trophies, he's literally throwing them around. Why do you look so young? Right? Looks happy all the time. He's winning all the time. Winning with Giselle, winning with his family, winning. Winning. Nothing on earth feels as good as a win. Actually, check that. Road win. He got three of them. Oh, yeah. Right? I want to be part of that. And in recruiting, that is all these college programs with the facilities and the bells and the whistles. You bring a competitor in, you say, hey, man, they might have a better gym. They might have cooler shoes. Right? It might be warmer outside. It might be some closer to your home. But you know what we do? We win. And when you win, everybody makes more money. You get drafted higher. People don't remember teams that lose. I mean, maybe if you go 0-16 or something. But those are nondescript teams. Can't name a single player on the Buccaneers going back 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know what you can? I can remember the Buccaneers team that won championship with John Gruden. I can remember Buccaneers. Other than that, complete nondescript franchise nobody knows anything about. Nothing. Zero. I mean, creamsicle uniforms. Okay. It was because they were seen as so bad, but now retro is cool. Do you guys know that Steve Young played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know, you probably don't know because they didn't win. They were terrible. They were terrible. So why do all these guys want to play with Brady? It's not because of his political alignments. Okay? Not because of his knee brace. Not because of the TB12 method. Nah. It's not because of Arians. I mean, look, do you think Arians is recruiting older players when he comes out and says, I gave these guys days off on Wednesday? First, it's smart. Lots of teams give their veterans Wednesday off. Lots of them. Nice. The smart ones absolutely do. You manage somebody in during the week. You try and get them to the magic level, but you don't push them so that they leave their legs on the plane. Lots of it. But he's recruiting. You know what the number one thing recruiting helps? winning. That's it. People want to be associated with a winner. They will do anything, especially once they've made enough money to that they feel secure. Now, even more so. So Brady getting Odell Beckham Jr. would be interesting because OBJ, in his infatuation to chase winning, like he actually has a winning hand in Cleveland, and they may be better off without him. That said, the reason that OBJ wanted to be associated with Brady, the reason that Fournette, the reason that Gronk, the reason that Antonio Brown is, that guy wins. Do we know how? No. Does he throw it as well as he used to? No. Does he throw it 50 times a game? No. Who cares? Who cares? Because he wins. Figures out the math equation. At the end of the day, he wins. And there is no... obviously, there's a space to where there's just too much money to turn down for some of these guys that are neat. But for the most part, once you have enough money to which you're good, right? You play 5-10 years in the NFL, you're good. You know, you manage it smartly, you put it away, you live on endorsements or live on some of the other stuff, you know, you're good. Now I want to win. I don't care about anything else. System, it would help. It'd help me be successful. Culture, weather, that guy wins.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Steve McClendon joins us. Of course, a longtime defensive lineman in the National Football League. And that really, as a defense, that really kind of what the game revolved around was that unbelievable defensive front and their dominance of the Kansas City Chiefs where, you know, Pat Mahomes is never comfortable. Steve joins us now. Steve, first, congratulations. What does it feel like to be a Super Bowl champion?
Say again, I couldn't hear you.
What's it feel like to be a Super Bowl champion?
Oh, man, it's one of the most amazing feelings ever. Something that you worked so hard for all your entire career. Some people get it in their first year. Some get it in their second year. Some third, fourth, fifth to go on. But then you have some that never even get a chance. And for me to absolutely have two opportunities, my first one was a loss, the second one was a win, and not only just a win, it was a win at home, in your home stadium, hometown. And it's just right now, to me, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing to be a part of making history. Not just like that, just playing in a home stadium, but to win in a home stadium, doing a crazy time, but such a different time, and just being able to experience it with the guys and the women that I had the opportunity to experience this with, coaches, and players, it's just been absolutely amazing.
It felt like you guys on the defensive front dominated the game, but also that Kansas City really didn't adjust to what you guys were doing up front or your level of domination up front. What was your reaction to the fact that they were trying to block four with five and they didn't seem to want to change that?
It wasn't my thing was going into that game, we had so many different looks. I don't know if they knew which look the first time. But if they would have changed, I think we had something for that as well. I just think that 2 weeks preparation leading up to the game, our coaches made sure that we had absolutely everything in place. If they give us this look, if they give us that look, we're gonna check to this. You know, I feel like we played that game from an offensive point of view during the week, and to be able to go perform like we did was absolutely amazing. But I think they tried to adjust. And I just felt like at the end of the day, I said it last week, I said it again, may the best team win. And I felt like we're the better team that day. And it kind of showed. But I take my hats off to those guys because they are extremely talented team. And you know that you're going to have to compete against a team like that every year. As long as they keep that core group of guys together, you're going to always have to compete against a team like that. And it's just amazing for us to make history with the guys, what we made it with, like holding them to 9 points, that was just absolutely stunning.
You know, look, you played against Tom a bunch, right? When you were with the Steelers, you played against him, and he would get rid of it so quick. Right. It didn't matter what you guys brought. And then obviously with the Jets, you played for Todd Bowles, and it was the same thing. What was it like though to play with him? And I know different locker, different side of the ball, different meeting rooms, but what was it like to play with Tom Brady?
Man, it was absolutely amazing, man. Tom is everything and more. It's hard to just say one thing about Tom, but the one thing I would say, his preparation, his love for the game, the way he put the time and the hours in for the game, he makes you want to work that much harder because he doesn't take anything lightly, and that's one of the most amazing things for me to see as a veteran as well. Like, you can keep pushing because he's pushing as well.
Steve McLennan joining us, a defense tackle for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He joins us in the Herd. I'm Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. What boat were you on yesterday?
Say again?
What boat were you on? You were on one of those boats yesterday, right? What boat were you on?
I was on the Starship 2.
Who was with you? So who was with you?
We had the D-line and the defensive backs on our boat. It was the D-line and defensive backs. We had the D-line coaches and the DB coaches.
It's a good boat. That's a very talented, good boat.
Great one boat. Yeah, it was a great boat.
Do you know, like, Brady says it was avocado tequila. Did you guys find out what Brady was actually drinking on his boat?
I think everybody was drinking some of everything on the boat. I can't pinpoint one thing, but we had a good time. We had an absolutely great time. And just, we toast to each other. We toast to a championship. We toast to the Buccaneers, our organization. And we toast to the fans, because without the fans, we couldn't have made any of this possible.
For somebody who isn't in the world of football, right? I think there's a lot of fans who are like, look, these guys don't care. They're still getting paid otherwise, right? You've been Steelers, great organization. Jets, not a well-run organization at times, or at least outwardly so, right? What is the difference in different organizations? Does it matter outside of football, everything else that's going on?
It does. How I look at it is, it all starts from the outside. You know, it starts from the outside, like with the players, how we carry ourselves, how we move, how we think, how we prepare. Then once we come inside, we have to make sure we're doing that together. Got to make sure our preparation is together. We got to make sure we're communicating together, making sure we're spending time with one another. But not only that, that goes for the upstairs and downstairs. Like, you have to be on one accord. And sometimes you might have to spend a few days outside the facility to get to know your players or get to know your coaches. And I think that's what helps make those teams such great teams. All the teams, all the organizations were completely different from each other. All of them different. They all well ran. It just, man, just how can you finish it off? How can you make sure you have the pieces in place? And that's the difference between all three. You know, some can put the right pieces in the right places, and some can put the right pieces in all places. And that's what made those championship teams. And not just like great guys, like guys with all this tremendous talent. It's just you got to make sure you have a balance of smart guys. You got to have some role players. You got to have some special team players. You have to take everything serious. It's just not one-sided. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization do a very good job at it, as well as Pittsburgh. And I feel like the Jets do a good job. They just got it. They still need. They got a lot. They got a lot of young guys. They need to just add some veterans.
Steve McLennan joining us, one of those veterans who won his first Super Bowl playing with the Buccaneers this past weekend. Do you see the video of Brady throwing the trophy over to his wide receivers?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I mean, for a guy who, this is your first one, look, Tom's got seven. He can lose one. It doesn't really matter. What'd you think when you saw that thing in the air?
I mean, I was like, man, if Tom's throwing, I trust him. Like, for some reason, like, I didn't, like, I was shocked that he did it, but I was like, well, that's Tom throwing it, man. He's always clutch. He's going to make it to the other boat. Like, that's just Tom.
You know, if not, there might have been a flag on the play. We don't know. Did you see?
You'd have most seen somebody dive in that water forward.
apparently, there's allegations that Scotty Miller dropped Chris Godwin's phone in the water. Now, Godwin says he did. Scotty Miller didn't. Do you have any sources on this report?
No, I do not. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah, that did happen. There was a lot happening. You were on your boat getting crunk, and Brady's throwing around the Lombardi Trophy, and then he was feeling good though when he got off that boat. I'm sure you saw that video, right? Smiling Tom Brady, like he was in that good Four Zima place, right? Maybe it was White Claws.
I think everybody was. Everybody was in that happy place. Man, you just fought 21 weeks to win a championship, a world championship. I always tell the guys, man, now you can let your hair down, you can breathe. And that's what the guys are doing. They're just having absolutely a great time, and they're just having a great time together. And that's just a great feeling. For me, I stood back and just watched for a while because I was like, man, we finally did it.
Yeah.
Like, you finally did it. So I'm still soaking it in now because it's probably going to take me all year to, like, I know I can't hold on to it too long because I got to start getting ready for next year, but I'm still soaking it in, man. It's still an amazing feeling.
Steve, when you looked up at that score clock and you saw it was zeros and you knew you were a champion, what went through your mind? Was it family? Was it your first football coach? Like what actually does go through your mind when you're like, man, I've been doing this a long ass time and now I finally reached the mountaintop? What goes through your mind?
After that game was like, I was just thinking about my family. You know, I was like, man, all the sacrifice that they put in for me to have this one common goal just to win the championship. But as I went home and I sat down after that, I was so thankful for my family, friends, just all the support, even just thankful for the organization. When I sat down, because I really didn't do much that night because I was still absorbing it, and I remember, you know, some family members asking me, see what's on your mind. I was just like, I know this is bad about what I'm about to say, but I'm thinking like, how can I win the next one?
Yeah.
And that break. Just enjoy the moment.
That's okay, though. Like, you can't turn off the competitive. You're like, it feels so good, I want to do it again. It's the greater high than any drug that's out there, right? It's the win. That's what winning is.
That's exactly what it was. It's just a high that I just wanted to go. Like right now, I'm getting ready to go work out again today because I don't want to be the one to say Steve wasn't ready for next year. So I want to make sure that I'm doing everything in my ability to make sure I help this team.
Up, are you doing? You doing arms? Doing legs? What are you doing today? What's the workout today?
So it's gonna be still a heavy cardio day. Still just flushing my body out, and it'll be like, probably just like some auxiliary movements because it has been a long season. Not really just getting into heavy weight. It's just staying with the functional movement to keep my joints like lubed up, keep them moving, just keep them active. And that's all I'm doing.
Well, listen, enjoy that workout. Enjoy that sweat. Enjoy being a champion. Thanks so much for your time, Steve. We really appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate you having me.